Once upon a time, there was a man who lived not very far from John O'Groats, which is in the very north of Scotland. He lived in a little cottage by the seashore and caught seals and sold their fur, which was very valuable in those times. He earned a good deal of money in this way, for the creatures used to come out of the sea in large numbers and lie in the rocks near his house basking in the sun. So it was not difficult to creep up behind them and kill them. Some of the seals were larger than others, and in the country, people used to call them roan and whisper they were not seals at all, but mermen and merwomen who came from a country of their own far down under the ocean and assumed this strange disguise in order that they might pass through the water and come up to breathe the air of this earth of ours. But the seal catcher only laughed at them and said those seals were most worth killing, for their skins were so big he got extra prices for them. Now it chanced one day when he was hunting, he stabbed a seal with his hunting knife. There was a loud cry of pain from the creature, but it managed to slip off the rock and into the sea under the water with the knife still stuck in its side. The seal catcher was so annoyed at his clumsiness and the loss of his knife, and he went home to dinner very downcast. But on his way, he met a horseman, so tall and strange, riding on a gigantic horse, that the seal catcher stopped and looked in astonishment, wondering who he was and from what country he came. The stranger stopped and asked him his trade. And on hearing he was a seal catcher, he immediately ordered a great number of seal skins. The seal catcher was delighted, for that meant a lot of money for him. But his face fell when the horseman added it was absolutely necessary the skins should be delivered that evening. "Oh, I cannot do it," he said. "The seals will not come back to the rocks again till tomorrow morning." "Oh, I can take you to a place where there's any number of seals," answered the stranger, "if you'll mount up behind me and come with me." The seal catcher agreed. He climbed up behind the rider, who shook his bridle rein, and off the great horse galloped at such a pace, it was a problem keeping his seat. On and on they went, flying like the wind, till at last they came to the edge of a huge precipice. It was sheer down to the sea. And here the mysterious horseman pulled up his horse with a jerk. "Get off now," he said. The seal catcher did as he was bid, and when he found himself on the ground, he peeped cautiously over the edge of the cliff to see if there were any seals lying on the rocks. But there were no rocks, only the sea. Where are the seals that you spoke of?" he asked anxiously. "You will see presently," answered the stranger. The seal catcher was now thoroughly frightened. He felt sure some evil was about to befall him, and in such a lonely place it would be useless crying out for help. It seemed as if his fears would prove only too true, for the next moment the stranger's hand was laid on his shoulder, he felt himself being hurled bodily over the cliff, and he fell with a splash into the sea. He thought his death had come. But to his astonishment, he found some change must have passed over him, for instead of being choked by the water, he could breathe easily, and he and his companion, who was close by his side, seemed to be sinking quickly down through the sea as they'd flown through the air. Down, down they went, nobody knows how far, till at last they came to a huge arched door, which appeared to be made of pink coral, studded over with cockle shells. It opened, and when they entered, they found themselves in a huge hall, the walls of which were made of mother-of-pearl, and the floor was of sand, smooth, firm, and yellow. The hall was crowded with seals, not men. When the seal catcher turned to his companion to ask him what it meant, he found that he too had assumed the form of a seal. And then he caught sight of himself in a large mirror on the wall and saw he no longer looked like a man. He had been transformed into a nice hairy brown seal. "Oh, woe to me," he said, "for no fault of mine this artful stranger hath laid some baneful charm upon me, and in this guise I'll remain for the rest of my life." At first, none of the huge creatures spoke to him. For some reason or other, they seemed very sad and moved gently about the hall, talking quietly and mournfully to one another, or lay sadly upon the sandy floor, wiping tears from their eyes with their soft furry fins. But presently they began to notice him and whisper, and his guide moved away from him and disappeared through a door at the end of the hall, and when he returned, he held a huge knife in his hand. "Have you seen this before?" The seal catcher saw to his horror it was his own hunting knife with which he had struck the seal that morning. At the sight of it, he fell on his face and begged for mercy, for he at once came to the conclusion that they were going to harm him for hurting the seal that morning. But instead of doing so, they crowded round him, rubbing soft noses against his fur to show their sympathy, and implored himself not to be afraid. No harm would befall him if he would only do what they asked. "Oh, tell me," said the seal catcher, "I will do it if it lies within my power." "Follow me," answered the guide, and he led the way to the door through which he disappeared when he went to get the knife. The seal catcher followed, and there in a smaller room, a great brown seal was lying on a bed of pale pink seaweed with a gaping wound in his side. "This is my father," said his guide, "whom you wounded this morning, thinking he was a common seal who lives in the sea instead of a merman who hath speech and understanding as people have. I have brought you here to bind up his wound, for no other person can heal him." "I have no skill in the art of healing," said the seal catcher, "but I will bind up the wound to the best of my power. I'm only sorry it was my hands caused it." He went to the bed, stooping over the wounded merman. He washed and dressed the hurt as well as he could, and the touch of his hands appeared to work like magic, for no sooner had he finished, the wound seemed to deaden and die, leaving just a scar. Then there was great rejoicing through the whole palace of seals. They laughed and talked and embraced each other in their own strange way. They crowded round their comrade and rubbed noses against his. But all this while, the seal catcher stood alone in a corner, his mind filled with dark thoughts. For although he knew they did not wish to kill him, he did not want to spend all the rest of his life as a seal under the ocean. But presently his guide approached him. "Now you're free to return to your wife and children. I will take you, but on one condition." "Oh, what is that?" asked the seal catcher. "That you will take a solemn promise never to wound another seal." "Oh, I will do that right gladly," said the seal catcher, for although this meant giving up his means of livelihood, he felt if only he could be human again, he could always turn his hand to something else. So he promised, holding up his fin as he swore, and the other seals crowded round as witnesses. And a sigh of relief went through the halls when the words were spoken, for he was the most notorious seal catcher in the north. Then he said goodbye to the strange company, and the guide led him through the outer doors of coral and up, up, up through the shadowy green water till it grew lighter and lighter, and they emerged into the sunshine of earth. One spring they reached the top of the cliff, where the great black horse was waiting, quietly nibbling the green grass. When they left the water, their strange disguise fell from them, and they were as they had been, a plain seal catcher and a tall, well-dressed gentleman in riding clothes. "Get up behind me," he said, and he swung himself into his saddle. The seal catcher did, and held tightly to his companion's coat. Then it all happened as before. The bridle was shaken, the horse galloped, and it was not long before the seal catcher found himself standing outside his own garden gate. He held out his hand to say goodbye, and as he did, the stranger pulled out a huge bag of gold and placed it in the seal catcher's hands. "Thou hast done thy part of the bargain, and we must do ours," he said. "Men shall never say that we took away an honest man's work without paying for it. And here is what will keep you in comfort to your life's end." Then he vanished, and when the astonished seal catcher carried the bag into his cottage and turned out the gold on the table, he found that what the stranger had said was true. He was a rich man for the remainder of his days.